Well, my dear brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we would certainly like to extend to you the fraternal greetings of those brethren and sisters who we have left in the wasteland of Saskatchewan. I'm sure that many of you know them, or a vast number of them, as they know many of you, being to Bible schools and youth weekends and the such. Well, we've certainly had time to look into the life of our brother Peter, to see a brother who has come from one thing to another, being transformed, being in the presence of the King. In John chapter 21, we'd like to take our words of exhortation from. We find that the disciples are without their King. And as was read to us in verse 2, it tells us that Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of the disciples were there, and Simon Peter said, "I'm going to go fishing." Now, we might remember that as we looked at the call of Peter, is that he was out washing his nets with his brother Andrew, and that the Lord Jesus Christ came up to them in the Sea of Galilee, and it says that they forsook all. Yet in Mark chapter 1, it tells us that the sons of Zebedee left their ships with the hired servants. It doesn't tell us that they necessarily forsook all. They still maintained some of their former life. This, in John chapter 21, is the last record of them fishing for fish. And sadly, being from the house of fish, from being from Bethsaida, they catch nothing. It's like we mentioned that in Luke chapter 5, when Christ came into contact with them, they hadn't caught a thing. And here, they haven't caught a thing again. And it's not until the Lord Jesus Christ gives them instruction do they ever catch anything. And so they cast it off to the side of the boat, on the right side, and they catch 153 fish. We'll leave that number with you for your own speculation as to why it is that God gives us a very particular number of fish that are caught. But Brother Peter, true to form, as John identifies in verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved," being John, "said, 'It is the Lord.'" And our brother Peter, as impetuous as he is and full of energy, jumps into the water that he could be with his Lord on the land. And he swims over to the land. We find an echo in verse 9. Can you imagine that as we've taken a look at our brother Peter, and as he struggled in his mind with the denial, as Paul always struggled, looking out on the audience and seeing those ones who were had lost their parents. And Paul was the one who had killed their parents. And there were all these orphans in the audience. And how many times he brings that up. But here, in verse 9 of John 21, we remember that on the second opportunity where Peter could have confessed things, he went out, and it says that the cock crew. And that was the first warning. And then it says they went up, and they had coals of fire. And it was cold. And here in John chapter 21, verse 9, it says, "And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there." Can you imagine what's going through Peter's mind? He's about to speak to his King and his Lord in the same sort of area that he had denied, being around a coal of fires. But he's not going to deny him anymore. Now, we know the discussion that was taking place as Brother Fred read it for us from John chapter 21, verses 15, 16, and 17. That being, then, the basis of our exhortation. And the question is asked, "Simon, son of Jonah," and we've considered that, so that's the hearing son of the dove, "lovest thou me?" And he tells him on three occasions, "Feed my lambs," or "feed my sheep." And the question is, as we've already seen the answer, but the question is, did Paul take the exhortation of the Lord Jesus Christ seriously? When he said, "I want you to feed my sheep, I want you to take on the role of a priest, and I want you to do everything you possibly can for the members of the Ecclesia and of the Brotherhood to get them more walking in a straight and narrow path, for straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to the kingdom of heaven. Come over then, brethren and sisters, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 5. Brother Peter has taken the role and the responsibility that his King just gave him very seriously. He says in 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God." It's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ tells him in John 21. Feed the flock. And Peter here is exhorting now because he's doing it. They can't say, "Well, Peter, you can't tell us what to do and you're not doing it." Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock, that when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Brothers and sisters, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Do you love me?" are for you and for me. The expansion that Peter gives us here in chapter 5 is for you and for me. We've come here, each of us, absorbed in our own thoughts, as we are going to very soon participate as a living sacrifice that Paul spoke about in Romans. That when we take that small piece of bread, we are agreeing with our God that we volunteered to step into service. No one threatened us. We agreed that we would now take the life, as we have recorded in the Gospels, in the Psalms, of the mind of Christ, and we'll make it ours. And we're going to pour out our life when we take that wine. You see, in verse 2, it says, taking oversight. That means to be aware. We need to be aware of what's going on in the flock. Paul says in Hebrews, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently," and the words for looking diligently is the same word as you see in chapter 5 and verse 2 of taking oversight. But Paul says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." We have to be on guard, and we cannot get tired of issuing the warning, brothers and sisters, in this year. And as we go into a new year, because the thoughts of the world are attacking the brotherhood, and we have to be absolutely on guard as elders and as brethren and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we feed the flock of God. Christ says, "Lovest thou me?" You see, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2, he says that we do it willingly. That means voluntarily. We voluntarily serve our King. We do everything we possibly can to follow in his footsteps. You see, brethren and sisters, as we alluded to in one of our sessions, and the brother will say, as he stands up here, and I will say, quoting from the scripture, "Let a man examine himself." Did Peter figure it out by John chapter 21? It says, "Let a man examine himself." Don't look over at the brother over there or the sister over there and say, "Well, as Peter said and we considered, if all others offend you this night, I will not deny you." Peter has to learn that. When we go back to John chapter 21, see, Peter is still dealing with these issues. It's no wonder that our King tells us, Don't look down the aisle or across the room. In John chapter 21 and verse 20, then Peter turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which was John. He's the one that they asked, who betrays the Lord? Verse 21, Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? You see, Peter's not concerned about himself. Peter's still pointing the finger. Well, what about John? What's he going to do? And Christ says, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. And our Lord ever so gently upbraids Peter. He says, Peter, don't be worried about John. Don't be worried about James or the sons of Zebedee. Peter, I want you. I've asked you, Peter. Just as our King has asked every one of you who have been baptized and the young who are learning it, I want you, in verse 22, to follow me. Now, we already looked at the word follow is to accompany, to be in the same way. And we want to come back to that as we follow through. But we said that to feed the flock of God, as we saw in 1 Peter chapter 5, is to be aware of what's going on in the ecclesia. And it's our responsibility to look around and make sure things are well and that the word of God is being upheld. Come over to Proverbs chapter 27, because in one verse, our God gives us instruction that we just cannot deny. When we're talking about this idea of feed the flock of God, do you love me? Then take this and make it part of your life. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 23. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. Why is it that God puts those words in there in such a way? We have to know what is the state. To look diligently is to ascertain by seeing. It's like we considered that when Peter came into the presence of Christ in John chapter 1 or in Luke chapter 22 as he was leaving the presence, and Christ discerned intently who Peter was and what he was going to accomplish in the brotherhood. In Proverbs chapter 27, we are to ascertain. Be thou ascertaining to know the state of your flock. Do we know the state of the flock? Do we know what's going on in the brotherhood? It says, look well. And if you have a margin, you might notice it says, set thy heart for look. Set your heart on the flock, the seat of emotion. Be emotionally involved in the goings-on of the ecclesia because Christ's words are being applied to us. Feed the flock of God. But brothers and sisters, this is serious business. This isn't something for us to just say, well, Peter was told that. It doesn't apply to me. You see, down through all ages, our God has continued on this theme, and he's told them, you are responsible. Have a look. We read not so long ago, Ezekiel chapter 34. What was the state of the ecclesia in Ezekiel's day? Pitiful. They were idol worshippers. They had fallen from God. They were the sons of God that had gone out to the daughters of men. They were building. They bought. They sold. It was just like the days of Lot and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. But here in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? What do you think Christ, when he was talking to Peter and the disciples, got the phrase from, he's the word made flesh, feed my sheep? Because looking back at the ecclesia in Ezekiel's day, the shepherds were not feeding the ecclesia. Well, brothers and sisters, we really don't need a lot of explanation for verse 2. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. As priests, As Exodus 19 tells us, they were brought out of Egypt to be a kingdom of priests, that they were all supposed to take on the responsibility. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, it said, neither being lords over God's heritage. Ezekiel 34 and verse 3 says, ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased or weak have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. It's like Peter talks about in that fifth chapter, verse 3. Are there those in the ecclesia, whatever ecclesia we belong to, who are the weak, as he begins? Are there those who have been driven away? Are those that have been lost? They've gone back into the world. And we go, good riddance, that's your choice. But God says you didn't go after them. Ezekiel 34 tells us that the shepherds were supposed to be shepherds of the flock. So when Christ said to Peter, feed my sheep, and that comes to us, and we know there are brethren and sisters who have left the truth, and if they slam the door in our face, if they say, I don't want anything to do with you, but have we made the effort that we will go out? You see, brethren and sisters, we will give an answer. Come over in Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 9. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. And I will cause them to cease from feeding the flock, neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. No matter what your responsibility is, if you're the doorkeeper, you have an influence. If you're a Sunday school teacher, you have an influence. You have a responsibility. This isn't for the arranging brethren that are going to be meeting this week exclusively. The shepherding is every one of you doing whatever you can in the ecclesia you belong to. Whatever you can to help out. Because God tells us, I will require my flock at your hand. And when we stand before Christ, the question will be asked, have you fed? Have you done something? Whether it's in this ecclesia or somewhere else in the brotherhood, or have we been so absorbed in our own thoughts? We say that Christ is our example, and that's who we're here to remember. And yet when we read the gospel records, when we see his mind in the Psalms, our king fed, and then he fed, and then he fed some more. And when he was absolutely exhausted, he fed some more. They came to him in the night. They found him in the mountains. He never turned them away. And we say he's our example. We're going to do exactly what he would do. Well, sometimes we say, well, Christ is perfect. He's the Son of God. He had the mind of God. We can never attain to that. But are we as loyal as our brother Peter? Just come over to John chapter 13. We consider this already, brethren and sisters, but just to remind ourselves, and the question that was asked, and the title of our exhortation is, lovest thou me? The question is to us. John chapter 13 and verse 36. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? And Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me hereafter." And Peter says unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." And Jesus said, "Peter, can't follow me now. You can't accompany me right now. We cannot walk side by side right now. But you're going to." Peter has been he's been changed before our very eyes. He's been transformed into an angel of light. Come back to John chapter 21. The question was asked in verses 15, 16, and 17. "Lovest thou me?" And he said, "I'll lay down my life for you." And in verse 18, Christ says, Christ tells him, "When you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch forth your hands, and another will gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." This spake he, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Thank you. That sounded good. Brothers and sisters, the question is, do we love Christ like Peter? Peter said, "I will give my life for you." And Christ says, "Yes, you will. You very shortly, Peter, are going to accompany me. You have a ministry to do, and you are going to live your life as a living sacrifice. With every breath that you take, you will accompany me, and you will walk the same road that I walked." And through the Acts that we've seen, Peter did just that. He walked exactly in the road that Christ walked in. He confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, even being on death row. Soon, very soon, Christ is going to return. The answer to the question that was asked, "Lovest thou me?" was answered, brothers and sisters, because in John 21, Christ says, "Not only will you follow me in life, but you will follow me in death. And for every nail, it was pounded into Peter's hands and into his feet. He accompanied his king. And two men, shortly, two men will meet. Two men who have been shepherds in the ecclesia. Two men who have laid down their life, and they will hold out their hands, and will have the same marks, the same scars in their hands and in their feet, because Peter gives his life for his king." The question is, brethren and sisters, do we love Jesus like our brother Peter, that we will lay down our life and all of the fleshly ambitions that we have